Lee Morgan with Midtown Blues. Lee Morgan is, of course, on trumpet, Jackie McLean on alto sax, Bobby Timmons on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and the famous Art Blakey on drums. This is from Morgan's 1961 album titled Leeway. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And a couple of interesting topics to talk about today. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden this week announces who his running mate will be. Or at least he's expected to announce who his running mate will be. We know that there was quite a stir when he initially announced that he was looking for a black woman, and we had some discussions about that, but we'll see how it plays out. Apart from the political theater, of course, that Biden's announcement will create, it certainly will be seen as Biden aggressively courting two key groups in order to win: African Americans and women. So will this anticipated announcement do it? That's the first question we're dealing with today at 888-874-4888. This is being waited for, this decision, with bated breath. That doesn't sound good when you talk about bated breath. It doesn't smell good, does it? But anyway, this is Biden's show. And you have to look at it from Trump's point of view. He's stealing Trump's thunder with this announcement. It's eagerly awaited. People want to know who eventually will become vice president to Joe Biden. And right away, they'll start trying to figure out what could some of the problems be with whoever is nominated, and how will Biden manage this? Would this whole process be managed so that he gains more and more political currency while Trump is doing whatever it is that Trump does, becoming more and more outrageous in order to attract attention? So what do you think about that? As Biden gets ready this week, it may even be today, we don't know, to make this announcement that he has in fact chosen a running mate, a vice presidential candidate, and now he is ready to take on in full the contest against Donald Trump. He would have solidified his presence in two key constituencies, as I said, with a choice, because we know and we knew from a way back that he said he wanted to have a black woman as his running mate. And that's because it was a kind of a demand. People felt that the time had come to give a black woman a chance to share the seat of power. And that would be one plus. It could also be a negative. We discuss it here. By being specific about that, was Biden in fact thumbing his nose at even notions of quote fairness unquote by pretty much pre-ordering somebody who would suit the criteria so as to gain political points, even if it skirts the issue of violating fair employment practices? So let's see what comes of this. Let's see what the reaction is to it. There are quite a few people who have been highlighted lately. But, you know, that's on paper. What you want to know is, how will they work together? Can they work together? Is this a bold move of Biden? And does he make history with this? And will people accept it? Will people gravitate toward it? Would these two constituencies, women and African Americans, and by extension, people of color, would they feel energized with this signal sent by Biden? That's the first thing we want to talk about today. What are your thoughts on that? 888-874-4888. I also want to talk about the fact that you'll notice that in all we've ever been talking about for the past 2 months at least is the coronavirus. Everything pretty much has been dominated by the coronavirus and discussions about it, except we don't hear from one particular individual. We hear nothing from him at all, and that is Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who Trump appointed to head up the coronavirus response. Well, it's no news to you, I'm sure, that there is no articulated plan on how the coronavirus will be managed and treated and so forth. What is the plan? We never had a plan. And if there was a plan, it was never, ever expressed. It was never discussed. And Jared Kushner essentially has gotten away. He's getting paid. He has this very high level position about an area that he knows absolutely nothing about. We know the consequences that we've had to live with, which is incredible deaths and infections. And we've had the calamity attendant to coronavirus being out of control. We have the economies of states and the economies of the nation itself directly affected. He has said nothing. He has produced nothing. And there is no criticism about it. There's nobody demanding answers. There's nobody demanding that he be fired. And we have incredible numbers of people dying and infected. And we don't. This great leading country of the world has no plan. So in a way, Jared Kushner is taking his cues from his father-in-law, who also has no plan. We have not seen a plan. We have not heard a plan discussed. And at this date, with the tremendous impact that this disease has been having throughout our country, it is incomprehensible and inexcusable that there is no articulated plan. The president pretty much walked away from this whole thing altogether. He is not involved in the coronavirus debacle. You know, he just doesn't get involved. He is on to other things, like getting reelected. It is beyond belief, it seems to me, that we can continue this way and there's no way to compel this to change. Jared Kushner was not supposed to have been appointed to do that. He has no experience about anything, except the only credential he has is that he's married to the president's daughter. He is the son-in-law of the president, and he gets appointed to these lofty positions that pay a lot of money, that he has all the resources to execute a plan. It does not exist. And this guy is allowed to go unperturbed. Nobody is demanding, what the hell are you doing? And what have you been doing? People are dying by the tens and hundreds of thousands. And you're acting like, you know, it's just another day in the neighborhood. This is incredible. So, where is Jared Kushner's and his daddy-in-law's coronavirus plan? Where is it? It does not exist. And they have already been given passes. Nobody wants to question them. Nobody wants to demand accountability here. Trump, as I said, and you can't deny it, Trump is not involved in coronavirus. The only interest he has is that he doesn't have it and his family doesn't have it. And that's the end of that. He does not want to be involved any deeper than that. And as I said, the son-in-law who gets yet another high-level position, a position one would presume of influence, and he has produced nothing, except he keeps getting referred to as one of the top advisors on the coronavirus. But what are you advising? We're not aware that you have any advice on this. We're in the middle of not just a crisis, we're beyond crisis. This is a cataclysmic issue now. And still, the Trump administration, the president specifically, and his son-in-law both have nothing to say. They do not exhibit any indication at all that they're involved or want to be. All right, that's the second topic. 888-874-4888. We have a couple more to go. But I want to know what you're thinking so far. What is this? What is happening here? It's like we are in two different worlds. People are really on the ground. They're dying. They're coping with the enormous impact of this disease. It has fractured families. It has accounted for the complete rearrangement of our economy and our way of life. Children are not in school. People are away from jobs. In fact, they don't have jobs. And we keep hearing about this much vaunted group of advisors headed by the president's son-in-law that is supposed to tell us what's going on. And there is nothing going on, not from him. All right, we take our first call. Lincoln, you're on the air.
Yeah, good day, Mr. Trent. Can you hear me clearly?
It's a terrible sound on your part. One of the things I have to always caution people about is be aware of the quality of sound on your end. I can't hear you very well. You don't sound good. Your equipment is letting you down. What's going on?
Okay, I took off my earphone. I'm speaking directly into the phone. You hear me better now, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. That question of yours about Jared Kushner, it would be a good one, except in the environment in which you are posing it or asking it. And I think you're doing it in an unfair way, and especially because of a position I heard you take at one point. And this is, when Trump first touted that chloroquine medicine, everybody attacked him. And even you yourself on the show said, you know, he's not qualified to do such and such. And they disparaged the drug, discredited him. And now it's proven that the drug is working and is probably one of the most effective things out there. Nobody apologized for that attack.
No, well, and, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. It has been proven by whom or by
doctors,
what
doctors,
that the drug is
doctors.
Effective?
Doctors who have been using it, and many of them.
No, but that's not the issue about doctors having used it. Which official entity has
proven that
endorsed or approved this drug for what it is that Donald Trump is proposing it be used for?
It was proposed to be used as an antidote to this coronavirus, and doctors.
No. You see, you gotta know the dealers here. This drug was specifically targeted at malaria.
But it is also effective in the coronavirus situation.
No, it has not been.
Yes,
many medical organizations have formally come out and said they have found no appreciable need, no appreciable diminution in coronavirus because people are taking hydroxychloroquine.
I haven't been studying the report.
It is a wider group of medical experts saying that they have not found, and this is also in the world of drug manufacturing, that it has shown some very good use in the treatment of malaria, but not so in the coronavirus.
Did you see the report by the frontline doctors, who all of them who have been using it, and in their cases where they've used it, there haven't been any loss, any death loss? You haven't.
All right. Do you know who the frontline doctors are?
Experienced doctors who are having.
No. The frontline doctors also have an agenda.
Just like the CDC.
You have this Cameroonian doctor who's heading things up, who's saying that the virus is caused by women having sex with reptiles
and outer space creatures.
How does that lend credibility? And Trump says that he finds he's confident with he's confident about her and her skills. But you realize when you read some of the things that this doctor who's heading up this effort is saying, you go, what new drug are people on that so distances them from reality, and they can't make up their minds about what they're reading is total nonsense? There's no scientific backing for anything that they're saying.
That's not
that
true.
You have
with
outer space creatures in your dreams, and what is that? How does that belong in any discussion about treatment of coronavirus?
There is an epidemiologist from Yale.
That's the frontline doctors. Look, we have to be serious about this thing. There are all kinds of people. There are all kinds of people of questionable, highly questionable credentials, if you even want to use the word credentials in connection with these folks. But their theories and what they're espousing, it's just bizarre. There's no other word to use but bizarre.
That's not true. Your studies of this is very skewed, and you need to really go back and study this subject objectively. Because
when you start making a judgment about what I need to do without knowing what I have already done, I would suggest that you need to reexamine your thinking as well.
I'm saying that based on what you're saying. Based on what you're saying, that's what it's indicating.
I'm not going to engage in a quarrel. I say that the hydroxychloroquine, which was, by the way, pushed by the president when there was no particular reason for it, and he kept pushing this drug, and I strongly suspect there was a monetary motive.
No, there was no monetary motive. The motive was to cure people.
How do you know, for crying out loud? How do you know?
Because the drug is very cheap. The drug is very cheap, so it's a generic drug. What? It's a generic
you
drug.
You don't know. And you don't understand this. Here's how you need to take a look at this. Things are very cheap until they become officially sanctified and sanctioned as the preferred drug. As I talked on this program before. Don't let me interrupt you while I'm speaking. Go ahead. You got the floor.
Hello?
Yes, you got the floor.
Yes, I said you are grossly wrong on this subject. There's an epidemiologist, I can't think of his name right now, and he's from Yale University. Okay.
What you wish to say. There's an epidemiologist
from Yale who said that these are quacks who are supporting this, and I'm telling you there's a lot of qualified physicians who are behind this drug who say that, and they have proven that if this drug was used, there would have been less deaths. And the only case where the drug was not effective was where it was misused in the wrong amount. But when used with this specific antibody, zinc, vitamin C, etc., it has proven to be most effective. And so you are wrong. And if Fauci and all of them were so concerned about curing people from this disease,
you're getting vituperative, and you're losing.
No, I'm not. I'm
you're
not
losing
being vituperative.
Any credibility to make a point, because
no,
now
that's
you're,
not
you're
true.
In a personal
that's not
battle.
True.
You're not seeing the situation objectively at all.
I am. You are not, because
let's end this, because I do not intend to engage in a quarrel. I don't
I'm
like quarreling at all.
You just because like I disagree with you, that doesn't mean I'm quarreling, because I'm telling you you're wrong. You
because
are wrong.
You are attacking me. You are attacking me. You're not having a conversation. You're engaged in an attack. I can't have any meaningful conversation with you when you're in your attack mode. Go attack somebody else. I won't put up with it.
You trees, I'm not.
Thanks for calling.
You.
All right. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Well, sorry to turn this into pile on you trees day, but I think your last call is mostly right, that you're not being objective, probably because Trump mentioned this stupid drug, but there's hundreds of doctors.
Trump mentioned it. But let me just say, you just super simplified my thinking, my brain power. I'm not saying anything because Trump said that. I'm not that simple-minded.
I know you're not. I apologize if it came off that way. I highly respect your brain power. I'm surprised how you've sort of simplified it to that one doctor with the really fringe beliefs. But there's hundreds and hundreds of doctors with similar stories. And the Yale epidemiologist who the last caller also mentioned.
My thing is, we, neither you nor I nor anybody else described as a lay person, we are not in a position to make a judgment, really, about the fine points of any drug. We rely on experts. We rely on people who know the science of it and what they say. And that's what
right,
it comes
but
down
to. Right, we also have to follow the principle of follow the money. And as the last caller also alluded, it's far less to be made if hydroxychloroquine proves to be the most effective cure versus
but
a brand new drug.
But what if?
Hundreds
as,
of billions are
what,
at stake in,
but what if,
in those molecules.
As economically feasible as hydroxychloroquine is, let's say, what if that is true?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not looking any deeper than that? Why are we just saying, well, it's cheaper, so we should have a whole different attitude about it? Because here, the intent must be to spend more money when it isn't necessary because of the arrangements people have that we don't see.
So I'm not saying cheaper is better, but so far they haven't come out with a new wonder drug that is better. So
we don't know. That's the point I'm making. We don't know. And we haven't seen a consistent report or consistent reports from independent, truly independent people who are not connected with any drug at all, but who can give us some kind of assurance that they're talking about the efficacy of the drug itself and they're not motivated by other pressures.
Well, but there
that's
has been.
What we should be
you,
talking
you
about.
You cited the one who had the really fringe beliefs and said some, you know, stupid stuff. But there's hundreds of doctors like that who have given us their firsthand accounts, and they don't stand to profit from this. They just want to put word out about what they know.
But it's not a question of whether you have 5,000 doctors over here saying one thing and two doctors on the other side saying another thing. That is not it. That does not in any way prove the science of it. I want the science of it. I don't want the interpretations of it because, as you see, I can't remember her name now, the physician from Cameroon who has a whole different theory. That none of this necessary.
Right, her theory I don't give any credence to whatsoever, but we can't keep coming back to
Trump said he recognizes, he's confident in her. Talking about how we get coronavirus because women have sex with outer space aliens drugs are made from that sperm. What kind of insanity is this? None other than the president is pushing this.
But what kind of insanity is purposely setting up false studies so that hydroxychloroquine would be shown
not to work? You're making.
Listen to Gary's
I don't
show.
Think
you
you're making a good argument here. It's not a philosophical question to me. The question is a hard science question. I'm not arguing about, you know, what philosophically, who seems to have the better points. I'm not interested in that. What does the science say? The hard science. And the hard science as presented within a world body of scientists. What does that say? You and I could talk until the cows come home.
Mm-hmm.
But neither you nor I are credentialed to have that kind of conversation.
Right. But the problem is no one is going to fund the multi-hundreds of millions dollar studies for...
I'm not talking about the multi-millions hundreds of millions of dollars. Apparently, it concerns Donald Trump because in one instance, he had pre-ordered before he started hawking these meds that he supposedly is taking himself. He had pre-ordered more than 630 million doses and had them stored in the stockpile, presumably to be distributed at some point. People don't understand what's going on here. He became the salesman for something that had not been definitively proven, but there was money to be made. Do I trust somebody like that? Or should I? Should we all? No.
No, but I think the money to be made was extremely binder. They tried to say he had stock in the company that makes it. He had less than $1,000 worth in this huge fund in one of many companies that make this drug because it's out of patent.
We have been down this road before with polio, with typhoid, with all kinds of pandemics. We have been down this road before. Suddenly, there is the winning drug, and it becomes the only drug, and it becomes the world's only drug. We've been down this road before, and you cannot trust the process when it appears to be not at all involving independent scientific study and examination. I don't want to know what this woman with her alien sperm, I don't want to know what she says. On the face of it, you should be able to say this is just plain insane. No way does it come even close to science. So you dismiss
That's
people
agreed,
like that.
Why come back to
even
that? Why
though
not?
Trump says he is confident in her. He has confidence in her. That tells you he's crazy too.
Well, of course.
Yeah, but why should we not see that these things are happening primarily because they're motivated by money or possible money? And we should have an entirely different way of evaluating it. This calls for a global scientific inquiry. I don't want to hear what Dr. Joe over here is saying and Dr. Mary saying. I want to know in the global community of scientists, what have they come up with in terms of an analysis of drugs that are on the market now, supposedly geared toward the treatment of coronavirus? That's what we ought to be looking for. Thanks so much for calling in today and contributing. John from New Jersey, you're on the air. Hello, John. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hello, you chief. How you doing?
Okay. What's up?
I want to get back on topic, but just to clarify, what hydroxychloroquine was a drug specifically to treat malaria. Malaria is not a virus. Malaria is transmitted by mosquitoes primarily, and it's a blood-borne bacterial infection. And what hydroxychloroquine did and why it showed promise early in the quest for drugs to treat this symptom was the malaria affects the respiratory system, and hydroxychloroquine tertiarily helped relieve the symptoms of pneumonia, but it did nothing to address the viral component of this pandemic. It was a fixative that some doctors were trying to use to relieve the malaria because of all the respiratory distress that was associated with COVID-19. And that's the only results that it had. It's a drug that's not designed to treat a viral thing. It's a drug designed to treat a blood-borne bacteria. So, I mean, you know, people should really know what they're talking about before they open their mouths. As far as Joe Biden is concerned and his choice of a black woman or a woman per se, I mean, I don't think it's going to tarry any extra favor for him The thing that concerns me is I deal with a lot of young people in the course of my day as far as my travels and my job. And a lot of young African Americans are not going to vote at all. And that's the scary part.
How about this? He chooses a black candidate, a woman, who in turn has wide ties to civic groups and civil rights groups, and thereby increasing the volume of the vote.
Well,
because
people
are going to say, well, we have a person who should be in the White House. Let's support her so that, you know, she can carry on the work, or she could in some way influence the president, you know, in this kind of work. So that would count greatly.
Well, the problem is this. There isn't a woman candidate that, as far as I can see, that is in his pre-foil of choice that carries that. I mean, who seems to be the front runner now, according to media and the press, is Kamala Harris. She seems to be there, and he's showed a preference for Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris comes with a whole lot of baggage as far as her ethnicity, as far as her work as a DA, as far as her refusing to prosecute the savings and loan people, she, as far as her incarceration of African Americans when she was a DA. I mean, she carries a lot of baggage. And Joe Biden is not exciting. Joe Biden is not motivating anybody. And I'm telling you, a lot of people are just going to opt out of this. They don't care. I mean, you're left with no choice. You're left with no representation.
I know if he chooses Kamala Harris, we would have proof that he is afflicted with a short memory.
Hey, you know what she did to him. You know what she did to him in the first debate. You know what I mean? So, but that's just
when you use
right
a national forum and you there for the first time, and you basically accuse Biden of being on the wrong side of racial, of the big issue of busing, and you make it personal to say, in effect, I was personally affected by your decision to not support free schools and equal education and so forth. If I was Biden, she signed her death warrant right there. I wouldn't touch her. But we'll see.
Biden suffers from Alzheimer's, so he probably doesn't even remember.
Certainly, people around him do.
And
say, Joe, this is not the kind of vice president you want, because actually, she's not interested in being vice president. She's interested in being the next president. So I don't know how she will work as a vice presidential candidate. Thanks, Ed, for your call today. Jerry from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht.
Hello.
How are you? Just to comment on Ed said, malaria is neither a virus or a bacteria. It's caused from a parasite. And the reason why that hydroxychloroquine is given is to treat the symptoms. And people conflating issues, I don't care what information would be presented to you, I don't think you'd believe it anyway, but hydroxychloroquine treats the symptoms. That's why it's used. It's been used off-label for over 20, 30 years on malaria, on lupus, excuse me, and arthritis. So it could be used off-label anytime a doctor feels it is pertinent. It is a known fact. There's plenty of studies out there. Plenty of doctors, the first-line doctors who are in the office and someone comes in and treats a patient is what impacts me, that they're willing to stand up and say, this is curing my patients. For someone to take a political stance and not save lives, I'm not saying it's the only cure, but Remdesivir and your other people were talking about, follow the money. Remdesivir probably costs $20,000 per treatment, and CDC, NIH, they all can make money off of this. When a drug has the potential to make more money, that's when it becomes popular. But something that can make pennies on the dollar, people who aren't invested in it don't want to hear about it. So hydroxychloroquine is a valid treatment And there is a plan. It's wearing masks, social distancing, getting rid of it. It's all out there. But you do have to start being a little bit more objective and stop being so jaded about what information is presented to you. You've yelled at me before on this show, schooled me on my heritage. And sometimes we all have to
guess that. Yes, your heritage, because you needed it.
Well, that's what you assumed. So you do a lot of assuming.
No, I wasn't assuming. It was very clear.
You did assume because you didn't know what I knew.
You were talking about being Irish, mm-hmm. and it was very clear. You had limited, very limited information about your own Irish history. I recommended a book to you, which I doubt you ever went out and bought, called How the Irish Became White.
Mm-hmm.
And the book.
So, yeah, but see, that is what, like, you did stick up for me one day when someone called and assumed that I voted for Obama and I'm afraid of the right. And I really appreciated you doing that. But
yeah, because I tend to be objective.
Right, but you're really not. When it comes to you, you have to step back and look at yourself and almost tell yourself the same thing. Because you assume.
Psychoanalysis. But on the flip side of your psychoanalysis, you haven't discussed the truth of what it is I'm saying. You're bothered by the emotionalism connected to it, but you're not discussing the truth. Let me ask you again, have you bought and read that book? How the Irish Became White, in order to understand white supremacy.
No, that's not a priority in my life right now.
No,
I'm not a white supremacist.
Because guess what? Immediately you would make up your mind. It wasn't written by a black man. It was written by Noel Ignatieff, who devoted his entire life to fighting white supremacy. The book shows how the Irish came to understand that survival in the United States required them to understand the unique brand of racism that was practiced here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the book explains. It's not at all anti-Irish.
No, I didn't think it would be anti. I didn't think you'd, steering me in the direction of anti-Irish. I didn't think that at all. But can I make one other point regarding teachers?
But let's clear this up. Do you understand now what I'm saying?
I do. I always try to be open to other people's points. I always do. So
okay.
Can I talk about teachers? So my thing about teachers is, since I actually volunteered to go into the healthcare system when this whole thing was going on, and I really was somebody who really shouldn't be out there, but my calling is to help people, so I volunteered. So in terms of teachers, if they're essential, because I know teachers are shopping in stores. That I know for a fact. So every other essential worker was scared out of their wits and just put a mask on and went to work and did what they were going to do. So why don't teachers put on a mask and do what they're supposed to do? And because it's all political, this is what scares me.
It's not all political. That really dismisses a whole bunch of dimensions that nobody wants to talk about. In the end, it has to do with at what point is a public employee expected to be happy to do it too, to put your life on the line for a job.
Well, cops had to do
that.
That
does not protect you. They did not have protective equipment to work with. At what point do you not see the legitimate concerns that they have about, it's not about if you're a teacher, you go in, if you're this, you go in. No, it also has to do with observing what we stand for and what was fought for, a safe working environment. The unions led the way with that. And
so
you're saying now they should, if they really mean to be of service, they should set it aside, make the casual decision, and just go ahead. No, you're assuming they're simpletons.
What
they have lives. They have families.
And
more than anything else, they have the right to expect that protections will be there while they serve. They're not there. Look how long they had to wait to get masks and gowns and protective equipment. Don't start blaming these people for not showing up or not wanting to do the work, because the trade-off is that they can die and they could infect members of their family and community, and they could die. Would you work in a situation like that, where your life literally is on the line?
I absolutely would, and I have before.
Well, then
what about the nurses, doctors?
You are crazy. You are crazy if you're going to work in a situation where you know you will be putting others connected to you in danger, not only yourself, but you demand no accountability. This is what people fought for. This is what unions 1199, the hospital workers union. These are some of the things that they fought for, the protection of workers. This government totally disregarded that and still is doing so. And now is making it an issue that if people don't show up for work, they're not dedicated. They could go to hell. When was the last time you saw Donald Trump or his son-in-law, the great czar of healthcare, in a hospital at all, except for Walter Reed?
Yeah, he went to Walter. Why would he be in a hospital? You're conflating issues. That one has nothing to do with the other.
No, because he knows there's danger there, and he will risk.
Oh my gosh, that's just assuming.
In danger. You see, the thing that happens here is that people disregard some of the basics that involved when you were not involved. They were involved in struggles that had to do with pay, that had to do even with just getting the job, that had to do with conditions of work, and they were not extraordinary demands by any means. It is not an extraordinary demand that a worker should expect to have a hospital gown, for crying out loud.
Well, isn't it Obama that left the coffers empty?
Don't tell me who it is. You're wrong. But don't tell me. We're not discussing who is to blame. We're talking about now. They don't have gowns now. They don't have equipment now.
That's not what I heard.
Okay, well, forget what you heard.
Uh-huh.
That's not good enough.
Well, then The
president kept saying how when he came on as president, the cupboards were bare. An incredible lie. But he's used to lying. He is a dedicated liar.
But that was an outside report, verified that from years before. So that's what I'm saying. You say these things as if your word is the ultimate truth. And
word is not the ultimate truth. But please understand, I am not new to this.
Mm-hmm.
I have been covering healthcare from the point of view of the workers and what they have to put up with.
Well, I'm a healthcare worker.
Well,
yeah.
Okay,
so put on your,
you should
put
know.
On your mask. Do what you can for your family. Separate it out. You try to do the best you can. But please, I'm a union worker. I'm a healthcare worker. And you are jaded and not objective. And that you need to look
and
at that for
I'm
yourself.
I'm jaded and not objective. I have many people in my immediate family who are workers as well, who are doctors, working
right.
in
you know
undersupplied hospitals and working at great risk to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But they continue to do it because they're
exactly.
dedicated.
Exactly. That's what you told me before. Why
but it's
would
not a
do that?
Sensible decision. That's my point.
It's because
no job should expect me to put my life on the line in order to accomplish the task of a job. Nobody should ever expect that.
Not every job is the same or equal. There's calling. There's things called calling. A teacher's job is supposed to be a calling.
They say this stuff.
How come yours
doesn't matter? When you have a job in which you are constantly exposed to viruses and other various serious diseases, I don't want to hear about the altruism of what you're doing. It is unimportant.
So what about Europe?
The first thing is all workers should be properly protected and properly supplied, period.
So what in Europe, that all the schools are open in Europe and there's no infections rate, there's nothing harmful happening?
That's their decision. I wouldn't make that decision.
But they don't have the infection rate. Nothing's going on. So that would back up again here.
You don't know how they live from day to day, do you?
What does that have to do with this? They're human beings. They go back.
What are they doing from day to day that helps them resist some things longer than other people do? We don't know. What is their government doing that our government is not doing? We don't know.
We do know. If you actually listen to other news medias, you would know what they're doing. They're just doing social distancing, masks, and some of them aren't doing anything. Sweden and two other countries are fully open.
Social distancing and all of this is fine. But they even now are coming to the conclusion it's not nearly enough.
So what are we supposed to do? Hide away for the rest of our lives?
That's
so this
what
thing
experts
ends?
Are for.
So
let the experts
down the
tell us what we're supposed to do.
So we just close down the world.
Social distancing was just invented.
Uh-huh.
It was just implemented. We do not have a history of social distancing in our society, do we?
Mm-hmm. No, and I hope it doesn't continue. I hope people put their masks on.
Here's the point. If we had social distancing, how many more diseases could we have prevented?
Oh,
if we
gosh.
Had the knowledge
who wants
and
that
implemented
kind of life?
What it is we knew.
Who wants to live like that? People don't want to live like that. But then die. That's bizarre. People are, it's interesting behavior.
No. You want everything. You don't want to inconvenience yourself. It's like these people having coronavirus parties in the midst of a pandemic. They've already been told 400 different ways. Don't do that because you increase your exposure. But yesterday, a boatload of people had to be arrested because they're out there having fun. Great. They have
what
no
what are you gonna do?
Responsibility.
Keep your mask on. So you keep your mask on personally. You social distance as you choose. We hope the other people will catch on. But I don't want to live in a world like that. I don't want to live in that's not normal.
I don't want to live in a world with racism, but it's here.
Right. So what do? You do.
And I have to make the adjustments for my own self-interest.
That's what life's about for everybody. Just don't always come back to race, you trees. Everybody has to make adjustments in their life.
In America, it does. Frequently.
Oh my gosh.
In America, it is an unavoidable factor.
Uh-huh. Oh boy. Wow. Everything comes back to race. Circle right back around. We can't get anywhere without having that race involved. I'm sorry that your everyday is like that.
Are the coronavirus measures being taken in well-to-do communities the very same coronavirus measures that are being taken in poor communities?
Yeah, there are.
In black and Latino communities?
Yes, there is. It's up to the individual.
Why are blacks and Latinos dying at an extraordinarily higher rate than every other community?
Are you ready to hear this? Public health has been in effect for 50 years. It has to come from within communities, whatever race, creed, or color you are, that there's personal responsibility. You have to eat right, exercise. Public health care has been out there forever.
There is no intention because of racial attitudes. There's no intention of relieving the burden of people of color in this country for the ills that assail them. They're responsible for that. They're responsible for the fact that they have the same diseases as everybody else. They're responsible. No other communities are held responsible. Black and Latino communities are held responsible. In almost every aspect of life in this country, you will encounter this undeniable dichotomy.
That's your view on it. I don't. I hold everybody personal responsible for their health. But public health money is invested in the Black and Latino communities. So they have to start eating differently.
I shudder that you could be so wrong so consistently.
Because you do not have the information. I do have the information.
The quality of anything is very different in Black and Latino communities than it is from white communities, so-called white communities. But again, I urge you to read the book, How the Irish Became White. In other words, how did they analyze what they had to do in order to survive in a racist environment? That's the great discovery among the Irish, that for them to thrive, to survive, they had to understand this peculiar kind of racism here. Although they were partially exposed to it back in Europe, where they were called the niggers of Europe. When they got here, the record shows they lived side by side with Africans. No problem. But it was the white society that they did not have a handle on until quite a while, studying it. And they came to the conclusion, at least the leaders did, that a key to their freedom here is to achieve whiteness. That was a key defense. Read it.
So what do you have to say about then people who come from Africa or come after the people that are here already and come in and are successful and they're the same color as the people who've been here? I don't understand
That's a tired old canard, and you should be ashamed to even present it as a legitimate question. You should be ashamed to present it as a question worth discussing. Again, read the book. That signals we've come to the end of our program today. Let's meet again tomorrow and talk some more. Bye-bye.